Hey, I'm April, and they say laughter is the best medicine. So I'm here to give you a dose of laughs while discussing a range of health issues that impact women on Copay with April Body. And here we accept all forms of payments, okay? Including likes, comments, and shares, and of course, subscribe.
And today I have joining me a very, very special guest. This is my day one. My mother.
My name is Lana Bodie. Yeah. And I am April's mom. Happy to be her mom.
She's so happy. Okay, so today we're going to talk about aging. Wait, we both sat at the same time. Oh my God. Some of us embrace it and some of us fear it. I think I was okay with aging until my late 30s, and then I was like, let me off this bus driver reverse, let me go back to like 25 and 30. Are you embracing aging or fearing it?
I think I'm still on that journey. Learning to embrace it, yes. There are times when I feel as though in this body I don't mm-hmm. feel in my head are the same.
So you feel younger mentally.
Yeah, I do.
But your body's like, girl, we're old.
But I am embracing it to some degree. But yes, it's a journey because each year you're like, wow.
So you thought, wow. This is going to be a two-part question. All right.
Okay.
Do you want to reveal your age? And if you do, reveal your age by naming the biggest artist of your decade at that time.
Wow. I don't have a problem acknowledging my age.
But
I am.
Reveal it by the artist, the music artist. What artist was hot when you was born?
Madonna. Oh, when I was born.
Girl.
Oh, okay.
Ooh, I mean, I ain't going to tell your age, girl, but okay. We the same. Oh, okay. That's what we doing.
Okay, so when I was born?
Yeah, who was the biggest artist around the time? Shakespeare? I'm just kidding. Who was the biggest artist?
That's a good question. James Taylor.
James Taylor. So James Taylor was hot in the 60s.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, and how old are you, Mom?
I am 63.
She just celebrated a birthday. So
I did a couple 63. Weeks ago.
63. Okay.
63. Another milestone.
And I am 29. So what was your perception of age growing up? I know I used to think, when I was growing up, 30 was old. I remember when you and Dad were your 30. I was like, ew, that's so old. But now I'm like, y'all were babies. Yeah. But what was your perception of age growing up?
Unhealthiness.
Unhealthiness. Speak on it.
Well, most women that I lived around and saw pretty much didn't work out, ate a lot of unhealthy things, and suffered for it through premature aging, I would say, and sometimes things are predisposed in your family, true enough. So I'm not going to say all, but for the most part, I didn't see a lot of women that really valued and put emphasis on taking care of themselves, health-wise or the outer side. You became a wife or a mom, and
like we get married young, have a baby, and
yeah,
just,
and then you have the kids, and everything just went out the window.
Sometimes you don't take care of yourself because we know women too who get married and mental, like they put everybody else first. All of a sudden, you know, it's like you don't check on your own mental stability because you're so busy. Like, oh, I just got to take care of my husband and my kids. That's my life now, and just become like
taking
almost
care
robotic.
Of your husband and your kids is taking care of you.
Exactly.
So, yeah, that is. Yeah, it's a priority. It mm-hmm. is a priority because we have been told you put everybody else and put yourself on the back burner, but taking care of yourself is a priority, so therefore you can take care of everyone else that you love and cherish. Okay. That's important to me.
Do you think America, how they treat the elderly, especially in media, at least what I see, I definitely feel like at a certain age you kind of get discarded. And I notice on television, I don't like going to Europe. It was interesting to see on TV how you would see diversity within the age. Like, I remember, I don't know if I was in Paris or something, but just seeing like an older couple in a romance movie. You never see that here. Here it's like the dude could be 65, but his wife's still gonna be 30 something and healthy. and in shape. And I feel like America just don't really care about.
Yeah, you see the difference in how the roles of men and women are treated as far as age. Like you said, to a certain degree, you get a certain age, the women are put out to pasture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't get recognized for, you hear people say in the industry of acting, you know, you don't get the roles you think you deserve
right.
or should have because of your age. And the men, older, silver hair, you know, whatever, they get the roles. And that is not fair.
Yeah.
But that is, that's what happens.
And it's just pressure. Because, yeah, I don't know if America really respects their elder in comparison to other cultures either.
Yeah, first. To some degree.
Yeah. And do you think it's more pressure on women to age? Like to keep themselves up or look a certain way versus men?
I can't speak for other people, but
mm-hmm.
for me,
mm-hmm.
It's just a pressure on myself.
Okay.
To make the most of what I have to make it better.
And okay. So turning, girl, you know what, me and aging. Cause I'm trying to age gracefully. I'm trying to embrace it. But I remember Tina Turner. I feel like that's somebody. Cause the way she looks at age, I thought was great. Like she didn't even start like really, I mean, she was successful before, but successful on her own till she was like in her 40s and started over. She's like, I love being 61 cause you're more mature. Everything is just better mm-hmm. when you get older. And I wish I had yeah. that mindset. And this other book that I read too was like, your sweet spot is 40 to 60. Cause I guess that's when you take everything you've learned and you've worked and everything, your work ethic is there. So in your 40s and 60s when you really are like, you're comfortable with where you're at. Like, I know the older I get, yeah. the less I care about yeah, certain that's things. True.
There are certain things, it's like, you know what? This is what it is right now. Mentally, yes.
Mm-hmm.
You start to accept that you don't have to listen to the noise of other people with their perception of what you should be. You accept the fact, okay, I'm making my choices. This is good for me, regardless of what other people are saying. And to that degree, yeah, you accept who you are and embrace you.
Let me ask you this. Did you have a scary age, like a scary age number?
Yeah.
What was that number?
60.
60 was your scary age. Okay. Where were you going into 60 thinking before you turned 60?
I'm like, this is it.
This is it. Sarah, this is the big one. It's over.
Yeah. And that was in, 2020? So, yeah, I had a moment.
Wow, so we had the pandemic and you were going into it like, oh, man, I'm about to be 60 and the world is ending.
Yeah. So I joined a gym, which I had joined gyms before, but to me this was a little bit more critical. Here I am 60 and I felt out of shape. Mentally, I was like, oh, man, I'm 60. And, you know, you start asking yourself, what have you accomplished? Are you happy? Just certain things you just come through. But, yeah, that was a moment for me.
Okay. For me, my scary age was 40 because I didn't put a pressure on having a husband or anything. Because y'all kind of raised me, too, to not care about getting married and having kids. Y'all both were like, go out there, girl, do your life, have your fun, because you got married so young. So you were like, have fun. I took that to heart. I had a lot of fun.
Yeah,
too much fun.
You did get married young, so it was never a pressure we thought we put on you, like, you got to get married, you got to have kids. No, I wanted you to enjoy your life, because your father and I got married very young, and for me, I didn't really experience being single on my own doing mm-hmm. things. So I wanted you to have that experience. So if, you know, marriage was in the picture, great. Mm-hmm. If not, great.
And I think that's another, I forgot about that age pressure too, because a lot of times with my friends, because I hate when people be like, you see kids and like, oh, that's going to be you soon. It's like, but what if I don't want that? Like, that's another pressure too, because as women, you know, what you're at 35, you're already considered geriatric as far as your eggs. And all that stuff. So it's like another outside pressure people put on you too, when that may not even be what you want. But like I said, 40 was my scary age, because I thought by 40, I was like, now that's when I should have the husband, the kids, the career I'd want. I'm like, a Netflix special. And I have none of those. But I just thought I would have it.
Well, you may not have those, but you have so much you have already accomplished.
Yes. So, I think that's the hardest part, too. You're always the plan that you have for yourself, but facing what you really have right now, right? You have your idea.
But what you think it is. Mm-hmm. But if you look back on your life, you've done a lot.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people do that. It's like, I just had my plan. Like, you'll not even be grateful for what you have because you're too busy focused on
what you think you're supposed to have.
Yeah. Like, I had a big picture and it's not here. Okay, let's run through the decades of your life. Okay, starting with 1605. No, okay.
You got a joke.
You were born in the 60s and 70s, right? What was that like that time, that decade? What do you remember? I know you're like middle school, high school age.
Yeah.
What was the 60s and 70s for you? Even though...
It's pretty common, this way I look at it. You know, you're going through school, going through puberty, teenage years. The norm, I mean, it was nothing that really stood out. I had a pretty average growing up.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing really big.
You were a pastor's child, so.
Well, yeah, I was a preacher's kid. I had his own drama.
Yeah. So you weren't sneaking out doing wild. You weren't partaking in the wild 70 life.
If anything, I was a very obedient child.
You were. Yeah.
My parents were and are conservative to that degree.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm thankful that they put those values in me. I have no regrets for that. But no, I wasn't a wild child, as some people have these perceptions of preacher's kids.
Did you witness any segregation during your time in school?
When we were bused to the white schools, that's when it was an eye-opening experience for me, going to all-black school, then going to all-white school. I saw how far we were behind the whites as far as school. Because you thought you were doing really well, all black, but then when you go to another school, white in particular, like, wow, they are far advanced. So, yeah, that was one. Being looked at, treated differently when I went to the other schools because they had never interacted with us, neither had we interacted with them. So, no, it was an experience in itself.
Okay. Let's get into the 80s, baby, because you thought you, Madonna, because you thought you was born in the 80s when I asked you.
Well, I'm thinking Madonna, who was.
Was black Madonna, child. I remember.
Yeah, I love Madonna.
Okay, because this, the 80s stand out for me because I remember the big hair. You love the higher the hair, the closer to Jesus. You had the lace gloves, the dresses. What was the 80s like? You had a good time, I think.
I did for that part. Married to your dad. At that time, Madonna was hot. I liked her music, and I embraced her fashion.
You did.
I did. I embraced her. I liked it.
The most interesting thing, too, because y'all had me so young, is, like, we all grew up together. I feel like, you know, like, I was a child, and y'all were young, trying to figure stuff out. Because I joke about it on stage, how Dad used to deliver pizzas, but then
be with him as a side hustle.
And this was my dad, you know, how he would get his tips.
I'm on the side like, please, sir, can you spare some tips?
Then he used to be high. Yeah. Who knew? You know? Who knew? My daddy.
Married young. You marrying young, inexperienced.
Yeah.
Really no guidance as to how to handle that relationship.
Because you're in your 20s and 30s living
young,
life.
Your own, and you now trying to navigate the best you know how. And then you have a child on top of it. So, yeah, it was interesting. It was an experience.
Because I remember, too, for my 21st birthday, I was like, I was trying to figure out what club to go to. And you're like, wow, when I turned 21, I was married, pregnant, and divorced. You're like, let me tell you something, kid. When I turned 21, I'm like, whoo.
That is
true. Like, I'm trying to find where I'm gonna drink tonight because I'm finally leaked. But y'all remarried.
So we remarried.
What a beautiful story.
June 10th of this year will be a total of 45 years.
Can you believe? And then you've known him pretty much your whole life.
Yeah, I have. I've known him since I was 9. He was 11.
Yeah.
So
look at that. Old school love. The 90s and early 2000s. What do you remember about that? Me and you were talking about Blockbuster the other day.
Yeah.
What do you remember about the
run out on Fridays to go to Blockbuster Video?
Like leave work early. Oh, yeah. That was a high. I used to love those nights.
I did too. Friday night.
Yeah.
What movie are we gonna get at? And we call them up. Can you hold it for 10 minutes? We on our way. On to Blockbuster Picture. And cook some special. We order pizza or something. So yeah, those were good nights.
And times. I saw a meme too. Like we used to have to call for movie time, like the movie phone or whatever. Yeah. Like, what's playing tonight? Are there any fashion trends that you loved over those time periods and hated?
I have to say, I'm not one for fashion. Yeah, I did like Madonna, but keeping up with the fashion status of what's in, what's out, I never was a big person that followed that.
I know you hated bell bottoms. I remember you telling me something, or did you?
Bell bottoms, I don't think I wore a lot of. Whatever I liked, I just wore it.
Mm-hmm.
And if it was out of season, according to some people, I didn't care. That I liked what I liked.
You're more of Hollywood glam. You love more of the 30s and 40s time period. That's your
that
fashion.
That is my era.
That is your era, girl. Yeah.
30s, yes. 40s. Well, really the 40s and 50s pictures.
Mm-hmm.
The glamour, the beauty. Even the dresses the women wore. I do like that. Still do.
Who did you look up to? Were there any women? Like, I used to love Diane Carroll. Who did you look up to?
As far as the movie industry?
It could be personal and TV for reference or celebrity for reference.
That's a good question. My mom, yes.
Like, this is who I want to be when I grow up.
I love my mom. I love my mom. And my mom, to me, is an angel.
She's always
been a nurturer and a giver, and I've always admired those traits. You said Diane Carroll. I did like her.
Mm-hmm.
She presented herself so well in that era in the 60s and 70s with movies and had her own show.
What?
I'm thinking, your mom?
FYI, my dad is also in the studio, y'all. So he's being a stage dad.
You know
he's like, hey, he's telling us stuff.
I have to admit, he said something because I did admire his mom.
I did. I remember that.
Yeah, I did because we lived with her for about a month. And she showed me true essence of taking care of herself. You know, running a household with 5 kids and a husband. I admired how she just didn't say, you know, I had a rough day. The kids gave me crap. So your dad comes home and it is what it is. No, she made herself feel as though, or at least she showed me that he was important enough too, that he deserved my time and my attention. And I shouldn't just say, hey, you know, for whatever the day brought me, let it go, you know. And that was really eye-opening for me. But I won't say that was the only thing she did. She brought my husband into the world.
So look, read between the lines, Chad. We weren't that close.
If it wasn't for her and my husband and my father-in-law,
yeah,
my husband wouldn't be here. So right. I've always said that to her.
You just tell her, listen, I don't care for you.
We would stand up and have to give like a speech or something like at mm-hmm. the anniversary or around mm-hmm. a family gathering. What I know I could be safe is saying, thank you for bringing my husband into the world. And that was it.
And that ain't one way to say, I don't like you. We all know how the in-law dynamic can be. We've all been there. Yeah. So what are some things you wish you knew, things you know now that you wish you knew at like 20, 30, or 40? Or 50?
Say that again, what I think I would.
Yeah, okay. So, you know, again, I would say the biggest thing for me getting older that I wish I knew at 20 was appreciating the body that I had at that very moment, because there was nothing wrong with me, and even now. And also, I never really was somebody who cared what other people think unless it was like on stage. On stage is the only time, because obviously all eyes are on you. That's the only time I really would care, because y'all see me for 10-20 minutes, whatever. But just getting older, you really like, I don't know if it's because you realize how quickly time goes, you really stop wasting time on stupid things, because it's like, time goes by like this. So why I'm not worried about none of the stuff I worried about in 20s and 30s was worth it.
I have to agree with you on that. Yeah.
So what's your takeaway from like?
I agree with you on that. Mine was, I did care what people think,
mm-hmm.
what people thought.
And would you say you were like a people pleaser or?
Always wondering what people thought, always mm-hmm. second guessing myself, not accepting myself in the body that God gave me.
Mm-hmm.
That's something I wish I had done sooner.
Accepting yourself. Yeah.
Accepting yourself. Yeah.
That was a long journey for me. That's so long to accept everything. Well, yeah.
I'm glad you're at the point where you are accepting yourself now, because some people are still on that journey.
Are you still on that journey, Ma? Don't say so. If it's you, we honest and look. We say it, girl. Because people relate to this.
I have my moments.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah, my moments. But I won't say as severe as it was back then.
Okay. Do you care to share, like, how severe it was, or what were the things that, what you were dealing with mentally?
Mentally, the insecurity, the fearfulness of, I shouldn't say fearfulness, it's just beating yourself up moment after moment, just not happy with what you see in the mirror.
Mm. Just your, like, because my mom is beautiful, but you, I mean, everybody does that too. You don't see what other people see.
The comparison.
But there was, sounds like therapy now, but was there a time in your life that some, like, what made you not feel you were, like, did you have a bully? Like, sometimes you just have that person that made you feel a certain way, so now you're subconscious.
Teachers tell me that my eyes were big, or I had friends I thought were friends of mm-hmm. mine that I grew up with that would beat me up. They would say something about my shape or my legs and
mm-hmm.
get beat up for that. So when you're not told as a child that you're good enough or you're beautiful in the body that God gives you,
okay.
I think that's big for any child to be accepted. Because you grew up in an era where parents really didn't tell you they love you, or
especially
you
black parents,
you,
yeah.
Or you're beautiful. You didn't hear that. And yeah. So you grow up trying to get it from other vices or resources,
mm-hmm.
or you take on the role of thinking what you see in the mirror is not pleasing. It's, you didn't accept it.
Yeah. And that's true, because I think it's even harder in black families, because
growing up in your era was even harder compared to now, because you're trying to figure out how to be a black man, a black woman, navigate the world with racism, rebuild a family life. It's just generationally never really shown what love looked like in a family unit.
So to come home and try to, you know, black households, like, hey, we pay your, you got a roof over your head, you got
yeah,
food.
That's what I was told.
That's the love you get, you know. I don't have to tell you I love you. I don't have to tell you.
Don't you have a roof over your head? Like, okay. And, you know, some people grow up and that's fine. They can handle that. But mm-hmm. then you have other children that says, you know, well, I need that attention, you know, but not blaming anyone, but
yeah, no.
You grow up thinking you're not good enough.
Right. No, I don't know if people handle it. It's just you cope. We just find ways to cope
yeah,
with
you
it.
Do.
Yeah.
You find other vices and resources to, and then it brings on other issues. So, yeah, I just wish I had just taken on the responsibility of just loving myself and the skin that God gave me and the body that I was in. But
it's a long journey.
Yeah.
An evolving journey of self
acceptance. Life is a journey.
Yeah.
You evolve, you change, and sometimes you may retract, but you know, you do better. So now we have the skills and the ability and the knowledge, and people are talking more about issues to where you can say, okay, I'm okay.
Now, one thing, you know, when you mentioned turning 60 being your scary age, and this is something I really admire about you, because I feel like each year you come out of your shell, because you were pretty much like a loner. You were so kind of just to yourself
yeah.
or just do your own thing. But each year you get bolder, courageous. So when I saw you like quit your job and get out the workforce and start your own business, like 60 was kind of a new leaf, I feel like, for you.
I started a little bit before
yeah.
60. But yeah. Only thing I will attest to that, which is really true, my relationship with Jesus Christ really opened my mind to what I was capable of being and his purpose for me. And when I trusted and truly believed in that, I just prayed and continued to ask him to help me to be the best that I can be and to help other people. And the only way you can help other people, as you said, me being a loner, I had to reach out to people, because how can other people know about Christ or your faith that you want to share with them unless you talk to them?
Right.
So through that, he helped me open up.
And how, with you opening up, but also how did that evolve into your role, far as having, because you worked, but you mostly were like a stay-at-home mom, and then you evolved into being a business owner.
Yeah.
What was that like, starting your own business later?
Scary. Scary. Not having any experience. As most entrepreneurs, you decide you're going to step out on faith, I'm going to do it. But I had a lot of encouragement from you and your dad for years, because you know I'm a pet lover. I love animals. And your dad's always there for years. That's your calling. That's what you should have done. But I always took other directions and went other places. But when I did find it, I went into my own business, being a pet sitter. And that is my passion. I do love animals.
She loves animals more than us. Okay, we are second and third. I'm number two.
That is not true. That's not true. But I do have love.
My dad is nodding in the corner. Number three is in the corner nodding.
So
him and I fight for the second spot.
That's not true. Don't listen.
It depends on who pisses her off, if we're second or third. I think I may be two today.
But through that, help my confidence.
Okay.
Because in order to be an entrepreneur, you got to be a go-getter. Mm-hmm. You got to get out there and, whether it's pound the doors, pounding, you know, whatever. You got to make those contacts. You got to get customers. You have to be the person to do it. It's all on you. So with that, you know, with fear and nerves and anxiousness, did it in spite of it. And I had a wonderful business. And that's what helped me.
And that's inspiring, because that's another thing, too, back to the scary age, because you do feel like, oh, it's too late. I think that's why some people also give up, because you, in your mind, you think like, oh, I was supposed to have this by now, so I can't start over at 50, or I can't do this at 60. So to see, like, it's whenever you wake up and feel like doing whatever your purpose or whatever God called you to do, you're like, I'm gonna do it. It's never too late.
No, it's never too late, especially when you have family and people who truly love you, saying, what took you so long? You should have been doing this, encouraging you, backing you. It just pushes you even forward to say, you know what? I can do this.
And do you feel like you know your purpose? Are you walking in your purpose now?
Yes.
Okay.
Ready for, I'm not ready to expose yet, a new venture.
She's so excited about this closet adventure she got. Oh, my God.
I will share it maybe in another.
I hope you start a YouTube channel, because she loves being on camera, y'all. Then we have a tornado one time, and you just went and put on your wig and lived it like, hello, reporting live, there's a tornado tonight. And like, people just die, roofs are gone. She was like, this is my big break.
Yeah, the news media came out, and they were right by the house. And I went out there, and like, this is my shot.
Listen, she's going to public. She's trying to get discovered anywhere. Okay, I hope Oprah see this video. Bring her on Super Soul Sunday or something, because she loves it.
This is random.
Do you think it's weird? Because I think about death every day now.
I really think about death all the time.
Yeah,
I just didn't want to say it as much on camera.
I think because as you get older, you realize you're just 1 foot away in the grave. And then I just found out I'm middle age. Like, I don't like this part of math, okay? Because they said basically when you're 35, you're considered middle age. Because they sold us on the dream of 50 was middle age. And then I wasn't doing the math. But when you think about it, we add 35 together, you middle age.
Yeah.
So naturally I'm like, oh Lord, I only got 30 more years left.
Yeah.
And after that, 35 went by like that.
I think about death even more, because as you do age, things do change. Your body does change. And if you get a certain pain or this happening, and thanks, we have Google, and you Google up stuff like, oh, Lord, I'm 63, and this is bothering me now, and I'm closer to the grave than ever. So, yeah, you try to make it a consuming thought.
Yeah.
Again, as we talked about, you want to be present for where you are now, and you do the best with what you have. But, yeah, it does open you up to think, okay, this could be my last breath, and what am I doing with my life for right now?
Yeah. When you start seeing people, you get at that age where people start dying more too. Like, go on Facebook and I see people from my high school.
Right.
And I think me and another friend, we were talking about it too. Like, girl, we at that age where people just die. Yeah. Like, you right, girlfriend. At our age, you're dying now. Right. So yeah. That's another thing.
My sister. Because
in your 20s, you're like, no one dies in their 20s. It's got to be like a freak accident. But now it's like, oh, yeah. He had a stroke at 42. So you're like, oh, okay. We at that age
now. My sister-in-law, sometimes we speak about that. And we say, oh, wow, you know, friends of ours are dying. Like you said, at, you know, to eat 40, 50, 60. And it just makes you more conscious and aware that our time here on earth is short and time does seems to wait, and it doesn't wait for no one. Nothing is promised to us. But, yeah, it's a sobering thought. If you give it some thought, like, yeah, that could be me. And when it does happen to someone you truly love or know that affected you some way in your life, it is very sobering, and it's mind-blowing, but it's sobering because
yeah.
It does make you aware that at any given time, that could be you.
Right.
And what then, are you doing with your life, with what you have left? How are you living it? How are you treating other people? You're just cognizant of how you live and how, to me, if anything, you treat other people.
Right. And now this is going to be another segue question, not to what you're saying, but you mentioned something before about when you get random pains. What's that like when your body isn't doing what your mind wants it to do? Because your mind, mentally, you're like, I can go run, I can do this, but now you're like, I may have to get up another 15 minutes early because my body, baby, like, well, we not ready yet.
Yeah.
What is that like?
I think about it when I'm working out.
Because you like, I think I should lift some more weights, but yeah. Your body like, girl.
I have my days, I'm like, girl, you got it. And then there's some day like, wrap it up, 30 minutes. You done. And I'm looking at, I go and I peek in the sauna because I have it timed. 30 minutes, shut it down. It's time to go in now. It's time to go in. I can't do
it like,
more.
Shut it down. We have
but
seen
then
it
you
enough.
Have those days I get up, I feel real rejuvenated. I'm mm-hmm. like, I got this. And I feel great. But then certain pain, hip, back, like, wow. Okay, this is it for the
so
day.
So you really feel the difference. Like, you feel the difference between when you were 25 waking up.
Yeah,
and
you do.
And what really about, because I know we talk about Botox and stuff. What yeah. is that like when you're like, dang, because we see it in pictures where you're like, dang, I don't even, look at me when I was 15. Yeah. What is that like looking at two different people, babe, essentially,
yeah,
right?
Especially when you first get up in the morning and you look in the mirror like, there's another wrinkle.
Ooh, they just keep coming. They bring their friends.
I'm like, I need a doctor. I need something. But then you, throughout the day, it's like, okay. And then you have someone else telling you, you're beautiful just the way you are. You're good. I'm like, that's not what I'm saying. So you have to, again,
yeah.
You have to accept where you are, love where you are. And your choice, if you want to do something to change it, whether it be Botox or whatever, that's up to you, of course. But, yeah, it's eye-opening, and I don't know. It's something to think about. You look at your pictures, progress, and you've progressed, and it's like, wow. That's part of aging.
Now, are you going to fight the good fight of aging and just let your
Without
body do
doubt.
What it do? Or,
nope.
No. Or are you going to get you a plastic surgery? What you going to do? What
I'm going to fight the good fight. I'm going to do with
no needles, no.
Well, I'm not saying that.
I'm going to say, so you ain't going to get no Botox?
I'm not saying that. My husband really wouldn't want me to. He says I'm happy. He's happy just the way I am. But, that's just an open question right now.
Okay.
It's an open question.
That's fair. I also,
but I am going with the fight.
It's day to day. It's day to day. I
fight,
feel you.
Yeah. Some days, like I said, you got to wrap it up. And some days, I'm like, okay, yeah. It's all good.
I wish insurance, if insurance covered Botox,
I would love it if my insurance.
I feel like it should be a part of aging preventative.
Yeah.
It should just be a package.
Maybe in the next 10, 15 years, that may come available.
Girl, who got time? Who got 10, 15 years to wait? We got 10 to 15 business days. Okay. Let's get into the skin that's glowing. You want to share your tips and secrets because you got the best skin in the game. Yes.
Well, thank you. Thank you. But, so what's your question? Start my skin.
What you do you want to share? I want to know tips for you aging as you age. What are some tips you want to share? And we want the skincare routine because it's so clear.
I drink a lot of water.
Mm-hmm.
I do a lot of green drinks. I eat a lot of vegetables and fruit. I sit in the sauna every day.
You sure do. You love your sauna.
I love
time.
My sauna because it really pulls the toxins from your skin. But the things that I add to my green drinks are some of the things that really helps with your skin. As you mentioned this morning when I was making one, I do use olive oil.
Yes, because it's been all over TikTok that people drink.
I've been
olive
doing
oil.
That for years.
Oh.
Well, I think I shared that with you.
I never knew you
just
put
like,
olive oil.
Mind, you pack
cause you put.
Stuff.
Let me tell you, this woman put everything. She puts the whole
and
refrigerator.
So why are you asking me about my skin?
I know. Okay, let me be quiet. I'm gonna start putting the whole refrigerator in my smooth. I'm gonna look like you. I'm gonna put that whole thing in there. I want to be able to wear no makeup.
Well, I've never really been one to wear foundation and makeup.
Yeah.
It's me, lipstick, lashes, and I'm good.
But, lipstick and lashes.
Yeah. But that's pretty much what I do. Really moisturize a lot morning, throughout the day, really, because as you age, talking about age, your skin mm-hmm. tends to dry mm-hmm. out.
Everything dry. But, you know.
I know, like, do I want to talk to my mama about that? I don't know.
Well,
gotta
that
be
happens.
Another,
yeah,
I know
got to
be another episode or somebody
so
I want to know about.
There are things for that as well. But
do you want to share? I mean, you can share because people want to know.
Well,
because that is something when you get older.
Well, you have to talk to your doctor.
Okay.
Talk to your doctor. There are things you can do when you reach mm-hmm. a certain age, especially when you're going through menopause.
Mm-hmm.
There are medicine out there, creams. There's different drugs out there that can help you with that issue.
What was that like going through the change? How was menopause for you?
Oh, it was rough.
Woo.
As far as the side effects, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I mean, I've always been a heavy sweater, but just double in excess because mm-hmm. I drink a lot of water, but by nature, I do sweat a lot.
Yeah.
So you're dealing with that. Just the change of just your body changing.
What age did you start going through menopause? Well, it was a little different because you...
Yeah, I had
fibroids.
Surgery.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it started early on, perimenopause.
Mm-hmm.
And then... as I got older, start really going through the cycle of the menopause. It was, it and sometimes I still say it, that too is a journey because I still have the episodes where I have the sweats, the night sweats sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's a phase that some people embrace. This is, again.
Yeah, like how do you mentally prepare for going into the change? Like, how do you be like,
it's a mind thing because okay. you don't see yourself at that point. Like, wow, I'm here. I saw mm-hmm. what my mom went through and now it's happening to me.
Yeah.
But you get through it, of course. But it is, it's just, again, to put in your face that says, I'm getting older, changing mentally. You know, it's a process.
So you don't have anything you share because, I mean, I hopefully I got another 20 years because I'm only 29, so I shouldn't have to go through menopause for another 20 to 30 years. But
you may be in that category where some women absolutely just, it doesn't affect them.
Whatever you go through, my one thing is true. They said whatever your mother has, pretty much you going to have the same things.
Well, menopause does happen to women, but there are exceptions where you may not have it as severe.
Let's
like
pray.
That.
Let's gather together today and pray I don't have What is one of the shocking things at being 60? What's one of the things you're like, ooh?
Well, my husband and I, we were just outside looking at you.
Mm-hmm.
And we were saying to ourselves, wow, she says she's 29. That's okay. But... She is. She is beautiful inside and out. But to us, as we're aging, like, wow. Can't believe it.
Can't believe she's still 29.
Yeah, can't believe she's 29. And she's really going with a fight. So I'm like, I need to get on her regimen. But, you know, we're just so proud of you and we love you. But it is amazing as we look at our lives, like, wow. And to look at you now, as we're talking about aging, it is amazing that you bring life into this world at one point, spectrum of your life, and the other spectrum is like, all you can just say, wow. And any parent, what I'm saying now, can identify and attest to this.
Mm-hmm.
It's wow.
It has to be surreal to be like, I saw you at zero, and right. Now you are 30 or 50.
As you, I'm sitting here looking at you, you howling, screaming when you come out of my womb, and I'm sitting here looking at you, I'm like, wow.
She a full-grown woman.
Full-grown woman.
How did this happen?
Exactly.
That's how do we get here? Right. It's so, yeah, I do want to experience that, I think, one day.
It is amazing. It truly is amazing. And that is the beautiful part of aging. I'll put it like that. That is one of the beautiful parts of aging, bringing someone into this world that you truly cherish, love, and admire so much. And then of the progression, it's just like, it's very beautiful. And for that, aging is great.
Aging is great. So before we wrap up this show, I usually do like a copay prescription thing. Like, what would your copay be? What would your prescription be? On the topic of aging, do you have any final words or final things that you would like to say to the people as we enter?
We're all aging from the time we're born. But as we are talking about now, as getting older, just love yourself, embrace it, be the best you can be at any age.
My prescription would be, I think I've been trying to practice moment-to-moment living.
Living in the present?
Yeah, and not, because Dad, she used to tell us all the time, or your grandmother, she's my great-grandmother then, right? But she'd always say, stop wishing your life away. Because you know when you're like, hey, you're like, I can't wait till I'm 16. I can't wait. Like, you don't wish your whole life away. And it's true, you know. So I'm trying to really practice. Because your next breath isn't promised. You know, I told you to think about death all the time. So now I'm always trying to just focus on being in this moment. And it's really hard for a person who loves to plan and plan the plan for a plan. I'm really trying to be just right here, right now. That's my prescription.
I think that's great. Mm-hmm.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to follow Copay with AB on all social media. And hey, if you enjoyed the episode, like, subscribe, share, leave a comment, do all the things, okay? Until next time.